Good afternoon. We are going to begin a series tonight on great verses of the Bible. And about two or three times a month, I'm not going to get nailed down on this every Sunday afternoon because there's other things I need to say, but two or three times a month, we're going to take a look at some of the great verses in the Bible. Now, usually we will cover two verses, and the verses may not be related at all, and we'll look at them separately. But tonight we're going to begin by taking a look at just one. The verse we're going to look at tonight is one of the most demanding and the most ignored verses in all of the Bible. And it is a statement that actually fell from the lips of Jesus. Now, to be sure, this statement is very challenging. But it is also very neglected. And tragically, it is neglected by many who profess themselves to be Christians. Now let's take a look at the verse. So I want to ask you to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to meet at verse 33, and I hope that you have a Bible. I hope that you have something to write with and something to write on. Matthew 6 and verse 33, it's very familiar to us, but its depth is not familiar. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Now, before we go into this verse and dissect it, I want us to consider for just a moment here the identity of the one who said these words. I want you to think about who said this. The one who said this is the creator of the universe. In John chapter 1 and in verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. Word there is capital W. It's having reference to the eternal Word, Logos, which was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3 says that this Word created all things that were created, and that nothing was created that He didn't create. Now, if there's any confusion about who it was, down in verse 14 of John 1, John says, "And this Word became flesh." So it's talking about Jesus. So the one who made the statement in our great verse tonight in Matthew 6:33 is the Creator. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says about Jesus that he upholds the world with the power of His Word. So the one who made the statement is Christ the Creator. But not only is He Creator, He is also the Savior. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph and told Joseph in Matthew 1 and verse 21, talking about Mary, that she will give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save the people from their sin. So he is Christ the Creator. He is the Savior of the world. Not only so, but he is the one who spoke our verse tonight, is the one who was granted all authority. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said that all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now let's put this together. The one who spoke our verse tonight in Matthew 6:33, the one who spoke that statement is the Creator of the universe, who upholds the world by the power of His Word. He is the Savior of the world, and He is the one to whom all authority has been granted. Now, brethren, when we put all of that together and take it to Matthew 6:33, what that means is that the one who uttered Matthew 6:33, that this one has the right to command, and we need to obey him. He has the right to command whatever he wants because of who he is. And we ought to obey that. So look with me now in Matthew 6:33. And we're going to tonight spend our time dissecting this verse. Jesus said, "Seek." Seek. The word seek there is a verb. It is a verb that is in a command mode. And in other words, when Jesus said seek, he was speaking an imperative. This word in this verse is a command. When he said, seek, he was issuing a command. Now, brethren, this is just as much of a command as he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved is a command. And it's from the same person. Now, look at the word, seek. It is not only in a command mode, an imperative, but the word in the verse is also in a continuous action. In another word, it's seek and seek and seek and seek and just keep seeking. Now we're going to get to what we're seeking in a minute. But you hear what I just said? Don't misunderstand this. This is not, well, I'm going to seek, like I'm seeking for Laron here. I'm going to seek till I find. Okay, now the seek is over. The seek is never over. This is a command. This word is in a command that's in a continuing action. You just keep seeking, you just keep seeking. Now, look at the word again. This word is not only a command, it is not only a continuous action, but this word carries with it the thought of strenuous effort. This isn't hit and miss. This is strenuous effort. Now here's what I want you to do, and you can do it one of two ways. If you got a piece of paper there with you, write down the word seek, and next to the word seek, I want you to put continuous, strenuous effort. Or if you want to write in your Bible, which I highly suggest, but do what you want, underline the word seek. Just put a line under it, and then draw a line from where you've underlined it. Take another line and pull it from there out into the margin, and then out in the margin connected to seek, I want you to write continuous, strenuous effort, because that is exactly what that word seek means in that verse. This word is a command to continuously, strenuously strive with great effort towards something. And we're going to get to that something. Is anybody lost? We got to see. Look what he says next. He says, first. The word first that Jesus uses signifies degree. It signifies degree. What does that mean? Here's what that means. That means that in the degree of what is important, nothing is above this. That's what that means. The word first here means above all. You got it? Nothing in matters of what is important is above this. It's above all. It's above all. Now, let me give you an example of it, and I'm going to give you this because we're so close. Turn one page to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is dealing with the issue of people, regardless of what it costs you, you need to follow Jesus. So he's talking about the cost of following him. Now watch this carefully, because a lot of people read this and they don't know what to do with it, so they just make something up about it. Matthew 8, look at verse 21 and verse 22. Another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. And people read that and they don't understand what's going on there. Jesus was not against this guy burying his dad. And the Lord was not insensitive to the fact that his dad had just died. The key word in the verse, look at verse 21, the key word in the verse is the word first. Another of the disciples said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father and then I'll come. What the Lord was against here is that this man who was wanting to follow him was putting something preeminent ahead of him. What Jesus is saying, listen, when it comes to following me, there is no other first. There is no other first. When it comes to following me, I'm first. I'm first. When it comes to following me, don't put anything, say, well now Lord, when I take care of this first, then I'm coming. Jesus says, no, don't come. Amen. That's exactly what that says. Now, go back to Matthew 6, because that's exactly what he's saying here. That's exactly what he's saying here. Jesus commands, I want you to continuously, earnestly, with great effort, strive above everything else to, above all, first, do what he's about to say. You getting it? Now look what he says. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That expression, kingdom of God, is talking about the reign, not R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N. It's talking about the reign of God over our lives. That's what the expression kingdom of God has reference to. Here's what it's talking about. It's talking about us dethroning absolutely everybody else and absolutely everything else off of the throne of our heart and enthroning God into our hearts and into our minds. That's what the expression kingdom of God has reference to. It has reference to allowing God to reign over our lives. I'm going to say, I cannot say this plainer than I'm going to say it right here. God is not going to be part-time for anybody. God is not going to be part-time for anybody. He just isn't. Now, on the word seek, it is continuous, strenuous effort. The word first is above all. Now, the expression kingdom of God, you write it down or just underline it, kingdom of God is God's rule over my life. God's rule over my life. We together? Amen? All right, let's go a little further. He says, and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Righteousness in this verse has reference to living right before God. The word has reference to proper conduct in the eyes of God. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. Now, turn backward one page, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Watch what Jesus says about this righteousness. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is being addressed to those who would become part of his kingdom in the coming days, in the coming years. In verse Matthew 5 and verse 20, he says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God." Now, what was the problem with the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? The problem with the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is that it was just an external righteousness and not an internal righteousness. Outwardly, they would look religious. Outwardly, everybody would say, "Oh, look how spiritual they are. Oh, look how close to God they are." But inwardly, their hearts were corrupt. Jesus says that's not the righteousness I'm talking about here. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees stressed the external, but not the internal. But brethren, what God is after is our hearts. Because if God gets your actions and not your heart, it's only a matter of time for you change your actions. But if God will get your heart, your actions are going to follow. Now, watch this, because we're going to put this together. Let's put this together. What Jesus says, He says, "I am commanding you." I am commanding that you continuously, earnestly, with great effort strive. And that you continuously and earnestly with such effort that in matters of degree of importance in your life, that there is absolutely nothing that's more important than this, that this continual, strenuous effort is to be made above all else, that what you are to do is that you are to live your life and allow God to rule your life both inwardly and outwardly, and that you conduct yourself outside and inside the way God wants you to. Now listen to me. That's what that verse says, and that verse don't say nothing else but that. Now, that is frightening. That is frightening. Now, here's the good news. You don't think we got together just to talk about how bad we all are. Here's the good news. What is the result if I strive to do this? What is the result if I strive to do this? Look at the end now of the verse. Jesus says, verse 33, He says, "And all these things will be added to you." Now, the expression, "all these things," drives me back up into the context so I can find out what all these things are. So when I go back up into the context to find out what these things are is, what am I going to eat? What am I going to put on and wear? And where am I going to sleep? Now, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, and where I'm going to sleep, those are the necessities of life. Those are the necessities of life. So, here is what he said. He said, I command that you make a constant, continual, strenuous effort above everything else in your life to conduct yourself in such a way to be pleasing to God and allow God to rule your life. And if you will do that, I promise I'll give you the necessities of life. Is that what he said? That's what he said. So this is demanding and this is challenging, but there's something on the end of it. Now look what he promises. He says, and all these things will be added to you. Let me make a couple of observations about the result he promised if you'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All right, two observations about what he promises as a result of doing the first part of this. Notice first that Jesus puts the spiritual above the temporal. He puts the spiritual above the temporal. You say, okay, you just lost me. Okay, let me catch you up. Look at the order of the verse. Look at the structure of the verse. Jesus didn't say, what I want you to do is I want you to get out in the world and I want you in a continuous effort. I want you to strive to get all the stuff that's out there in the world so you can have a nice this and you can eat this and you can wear that. And then when you get all of that, you worry about God later. Is that what he said? He said the opposite of that, didn't he? He said, let me tell you what you strive at. Let me tell you what you put your effort to. He says, you put your effort to letting God rule your life and you live the way God wants you to live, and then these temporary things will be given to you. Here in this verse, Jesus puts the spiritual above the temporal. Do you see that? There was a man named Eusebius. Maybe you've heard of him. Eusebius was born about 150 years after Jesus died. Eusebius was a Roman historian who wrote a great deal about Jesus because he was born just 150 years after Jesus had died. Eusebius got to Matthew 6:33, and here is how he translated it. He who seeks great earthly things will have little added to him. But he who seeks heavenly things will have great earthly things added to him. I can't tell you how I love that. He who seeks great earthly thing will have little added to him. Because I'm telling you, all the earthly things in the world are little, because quickly we're going to die, and when we die, we're going and they're all staying. He who seeks great earthly things shall have little added to him. But he who will seek great heavenly things
will have great earthly things added to him. You know why? Because God is the one who will do the adding. So here, Jesus places the spiritual above the temporal. Jesus says, God first, and then the rest of this later. God first, and then worry about the rest of this later. Now, the second observation that I want to make from the verse is this. The context of Matthew 6:33, and in studying the Bible, everything will hinge on the context. The context of Matthew 6:33 is about worry and worrying. Verse 25, Jesus says, don't worry. Verse 31, Jesus says, don't worry. Verse 34, the verse after this, Jesus says for the third time in the text, he says, don't worry. So Matthew 6:33 is in a context of worry. Now, how does that verse fit the context of worry? And this is how it fits it. Jesus is saying, listen, you have got a much surer way to obtain the necessities of your life than by sitting around and wringing your hands and fretting about, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this? Where am I going to get this? What am I going to do? You have a much surer way of obtaining the necessities of life than by allowing yourself to sit around and fret about it and worry about it. Jesus says, you just seek continuously great effort above all else. You do that with God, and God will kick in what you need for the rest of the way. Woo! That's good. That's good. Because when we worry, now let's be honest, God's looking at all of us. We don't worry about, well, I need to pray more. We don't worry about, well, you know what, I only read 14 chapters today. You know what we worry about? Lord, how am I going to pay that gas bill? It's getting cold outside. Right? Right? We're worrying about here and now us. When if you worry about here and now God, God has got all kind of ways to take care of you. God just got all kind of ways to take care of you. God can take care of you in ways you think, well, I didn't see none of that coming. Let's go to the verse. Allow me one more time with the verse. Matthew 6. Take a look at it. Allow me one more time here. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now look at the verse. You see in the verse an action. Seek. That is an action. You see in the verse a priority, first. You see in the verse a goal, that is the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And you see in the verse a blessing. All of these things will be added to you. So you have an action. You have a priority, you have a goal, and then you have a blessing. But all of this means nothing if you don't believe it.
Well, that was for them back then. Don't tell me that.
This verse is true. And I know that this verse is true for two reasons. I know this verse is true because Jesus said it. But I know this verse is true because I've seen it work too many times in my own life. You may tell me a lot of things, but you're not going to tell me this isn't true because I've lived through it too much. So every day, you seek continuously, above everybody else and above everything else, to let God rule your life and to live like He wants you to live, and then see if God won't keep clothes on your back and food in your mouth. That's the promise. If you're here this afternoon and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing with all of your heart, turning from your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God. This very hour we can baptize you into Christ. But if you've done that, and if you're away from God, then what you need to do is confess your faults one to another and pray. James 5:16. If you're here, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we'll give you an opportunity to do that right here, right now, as together we stand and as we sing.